These days, with so many people facing so many different kinds of challenges, I've been trying to lift my spirits by listening to music that makes me happy and remembering that here in California, we've got people writing and making music that connects them with a sense of home and helps create the soundtrack of our state. And so now we've got another in our series for you, highlighting California composers. So we're outside this club in San Francisco, and people are lined up to see a Kishibashi concert. It's kind of hard to describe his music because it defies genre. Even his fans have kind of a tough time explaining it.
It's like if you mix classical and rock and 80s funk synth and then like traditional Japanese like shamisen music into one beautiful new thing that somehow isn't any of those things.
No matter what words you use for Kishibashi's music, one thing's pretty clear. His fans feel personally connected to it.
It's just a very joyful experience. It's very optimistic, very hopeful. The whole crowd is dancing. There's confetti.
We've coined a term called a kashakening, which is your Kishibashi awakening.
what song was your kashakening?
Yeah.
We sent reporter Lucen Mendel inside the show to see if they'd have a kashakening, and they brought us back this story.
From the get-go, this concert feels like a party. The energetic beat, the bouncy crowd, the dancing T-Bone Steak mascot. Kishibashi, his band, and Mr. Steak are way up front on stage. Kishibashi's wearing a vest covered in gold sequins that flash in a swirl of colorful stage lights as he sings and dances. Halfway through the show, there's a moment of calm. The band exits for a costume change, leaving Kishibashi alone in a spotlight with his violin. He plucks a rhythm. It continues looping as he adds layers of mournful strings. And then he sings. The audience stills. The dancing and clapping will return after the solo. But for now, we're all staring up at the stage under a spell. The concert lasts an hour and a half. By the end, I'm high on adrenaline and emotional catharsis. I've been joyfully entertained. But I need something more for a kashakening. I want to feel connected to the artist. How does he create music that pulls on people's heartstrings? So I went to interview him at his home, in a redwood forest outside San Jose.
You can't really force music. Just like a riff, you know? Might be enough to start a song.
Sometimes Kishibashi uses just his voice to start composing.
Kind of like mouth some words. So if I want like something super epic, like, you know, I kind of imagine what that could be in my head. And then I try and verbalize it. Like if I want a fanfare, like, and then oftentimes I'll just beatbox that into my phone. And then I'll go like review it months later, see if it's something I want to pursue.
Hi, violin idea. 1, 2, 3, 4.
This is the recording Kishibashi made of an idea for violin Akai, which eventually became the first song on his latest album, Cantos. Kishibashi's real name is Kaoru Dil Ishibashi. He was born in Seattle and grew up in Virginia. He started playing violin when he was 7.
My parents moved every like 5 to 10 years. So I've never felt like grounded anywhere.
In the summers, he'd visit extended family in Japan. and then come back to Virginia and try to fit in with his white classmates. The two worlds were separate until he found his voice.
I remember like writing songs in high school, and then I think my girlfriend had dumped me and I was like, super sad.
He was singing his sad song out loud. And guess who walked by? Not his girlfriend, his mother.
She heard it and she was like, Kaoru-san, maybe you should stick to violin.
So Kaoru stuck with violin and also joined his college glee club. This was at Cornell, where he studied engineering for 2 years before realizing, wait, I can have a career in music? So he dropped out and went to Berklee, the music school in Boston. Once he finished his degree in film scoring, he moved to New York to score films and write jingles for commercials. He also started a band.
We're doing fine. We've got like tens of people, maybe all our friends showing up at our shows. But then once I start singing, more and more people start showing up. And then I was like, oh, this is what a band is.
I'm a stranger today.
Now I'm more of a singer who plays violin.
The song Kaoru is playing right now, it's called For Every Voice That Never Sang. This song is not on any of his albums. It's actually part of the soundtrack for a documentary that Kaoru made. Yeah, he got to score his own film, which he fittingly called Omoyari, a song film.
I had a moment with you. Second pass, nothing more you cared to view.
Omoyari is a Japanese word that means to have compassion towards another person. Kaoru's documentary is full of omoyari. It's a beautiful narrative documentary, nominated for an Emmy last fall. One of the things Kaoru does in the film is visit Japanese-American incarceration camps and improvise on his violin. That improvisation from an incarceration camp in Jerome, Arkansas, eventually became the song called Theme from Jerome.
After today.
Improvisation. This is how Kaoru's composition process starts. A guitar riff, a violin arpeggio, mouthing some words. But that's the tip of the iceberg. Then he keeps working on the ideas until they're solid. He fleshes them out, makes them emotionally robust. It takes a lot of skill and artistry, and time, and courage.
Here we are in Jerome.
I'm very self-conscious. I'm afraid of like that judgment because one negative thing can crush my excitement. To me, that's dangerous.
In 2010, after touring with his band, Jupiter One, for many years, Kaoru started a solo project, Becoming Kishibashi. Kaoru was 35. He had a wife, a daughter. They all moved in with Kaoru's parents.
I mean, I've struggled with achievement like all my life. As a musician, you struggle with making a living, being creative. When I was starting my debut album, I was like kind of struggling with the idea of imperfection.
Can you share like an example or two, like something memorable that comes to mind?
Of me messing up?
Exactly.
Okay, I remember I was in Montreal opening up for Sandre Lerche, and I was like really struggling with my loops. I create a loop and I just couldn't get it right. The timing was off and then I just had to stop.
He had to keep restarting the song over and over again on stage.
And I started to realize I was not nailing it that night. And then but people were cheering towards the end. They wanted to see me succeed.
I feel like I could do better for you guys. I'm trying.
That actually happened at the show in San Francisco that I went to. Kaoru restarted a song. This time, it was a cover of This Must Be the Place by Talking Heads.
I learned that this is part of the performance, is that they're not just there to hear a perfect iteration of something. But they like the idea that they're supporting someone.
Home is where I want to be. Make me up and turn me round.
As a musician, every time you put an album out, you're like, oh, they like it. But I try and push it out of my mind as I create it, because that can be a
prison. I've realized that the more honest you are with yourself and your art, the more it may actually connect with people.
At the end of every Kishibashi show, Kaoru and the band, they've been up front on this literal pedestal the whole show. But at the very end, they leave the mics and amps on stage, pick up acoustic instruments, and walk down into the middle of the audience. A couple hundred people cluster around the band. It's wild because we're all on the same level. People in front can reach out and touch Kaoru. This is when I have my kashakening. This song, this moment, with Kaoru and a couple hundred people in a giant sing-along.
That was Lucen Mendel. You can check out all the stories in our California Composers series on our podcast, The California Report Magazine.